Okay, can I be honest here?
Yes.
I used to rely on alcohol for a lot of things, including managing my PMS symptoms like anxiety, irritability, feeling blue. Ugh, huge mistake. However, as a sober girl today, that is obviously not an option, but have no fear. Ladies, we found a solution to our PMS woes. Alcohol, so not needed. Enter Jubilance, your daily support and new BFF when it comes to true and effective PMS relief. It's so simple. Just take one capsule a day and keep your symptoms at bay. If you're interested in trying it, you can use the code SOBERGIRLS for $10 off your first order.
I've noticed I have more energy, focus, less cravings, and my mood feels so much more balanced. Jubilance is a non-hormonal, available over-the-counter, and powered by two-ingredient formula used by thousands of women worldwide to live PMS mood symptom-free. Think less anxiety, less irritability, more peace, power, and dare I say, fun all month long. Try Jubilance for $10 off by visiting jubilance.com/sobergirls or use the promo code SOBERGIRLS at checkout. That's JUBILANCE.com/SOBERGIRLS for $10 off.
Now we know that finding the perfect non-alcoholic drink can sometimes feel like a major challenge, but we've discovered something that's about to knock your socks off and your taste buds too. Go Brewing. Did you know Go Brewing was rated number one, Michaela, for non-alcoholic beer in the country, and rightly so. Fun fact. All of their beers fall under the gluten-free guidelines, so you won't get that gross, bloated feel that you sometimes can get when you're drinking, let's be honest. Plus, all their brews without fruit have less than 1 gram of sugar. Because we want to feel sexy and sober and have fun, Go Brew is the perfect choice for us.
And who says beer isn't sophisticated when you could just put it in a champagne glass like I do? My favorite at the moment is the Sunshine State Tropical IPA from Go Brewing. It's the mango and peach flavor. As a listener, you can save 15% by going to brewing.com/sobergirls or by using the code SOBERGIRLS. Plus, get a free 2-day shipping on orders of $40 or more. Again, go to brewing.com/sobergirls or use our code SOBERGIRLS for 15% off. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Two Sober Girls Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela. I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Erin. And today we have a very special guest, friend of ours, Karina Virginia. She is a mystic, energetic healer, yoga enthusiast, and a life coach who has experienced the magical power of miracles. You guys are in for a treat. She integrates many years of holistic wellness, extensive travel, quantum physics, epigenetics, energy healing, and ancient yogic philosophies. And as a sought-out after leader in the world of mindfulness, she has published a book by Sounds True and has been featured internationally on the cover of Yoga Journal. While Karina has worked closely with professionals and celebrities, she truly believes we are all so very similar, longing to connect and feeling the pain of disconnection. She believes it is when we take off our masks and connect authentically from our hearts, we find true community in many places. She's referred to as a medical intuitive by many because she has a profound way of sensing the energy and blocks in her clients and students. Oh my gosh, we had a call, I would say like a few weeks ago, and I made so many notes just on like our regular conversations that I wanted to have you on and talk on some of these really important areas, whether it's spirituality, whether it's feeling all the feelings, coaching on shame. Like you have such a vast knowledge on all of these things. But first, tell us a little bit about yourself and also how your sobriety has weaved in into your life.
Yeah, that's a great question, and thank you for having me on here. I feel this this new actual calling to really help, especially women, find their way into living an alcohol-free life if that's what they want. And I'm assuming that most people who are here are desiring that, or are living it, or are, you know, maybe feeling in this moment as they hear this a lot of shame, maybe feeling some anxiety, and I need a way out of this. You know, there can be that day too. So I just want to embrace everybody, and I trust that there's a divine reason for me being with all of you, both of you, and everyone. But yeah, I was a very sensitive child, probably ADHD, just a troubled child in school. But I also saw way beyond the earth realm, and that is the truth. And I had a lot of very mystical experiences as a child that at first I thought everybody had, and then I felt very alone in. So I worked really hard to connect by numbing that part of myself. And then I went to, I didn't really do well in school at first until I was mid high school, when I realized that I wanted to go to college. And by the time I graduated high school, didn't really do well on the SATs. My GPA was not what I needed it to be to get into one of the colleges that I wanted to go to. So I auditioned and decided I'll audition because I was always good at acting. That was kind of something I was born to do. And then I figured I'll change my major once I get there, but I never changed my major. So I was in a very intense conservatory program with a cut system, and it was a, very, very difficult to even graduate from it. So I didn't drink in college. I didn't even really think about it. I didn't, and if I did go out, it was kind of because I pushed myself to go out. And then after college, I really was the same thing. When I met my husband, I was in my later 20s, and I was already very much into my yoga practice and my spiritual practice. But something I've discovered along the way is that it was when I started to have so many responsibilities in my life, being married, having children, working. And I didn't have that time to practice my deeply spiritual, or I didn't make the time to practice my very deeply spiritual meditations, et cetera, that I figured out, wow, this stuff, wine, is like the perfect fix. Who needs to meditate when you have this? So I was like, great. And then we'd have social events, and I was like, great. You know what? I can do everything all day. Then at 5 o'clock, I'll have energy to even do more because there was this illusion that the wine would give me more energy. And then it was, oh, I can give my kids a bath with my glass of wine here. And it's like, oh, bath time. And it that went on for a while. And I got to a point where, it was, I thought it was working and I was doing what everyone else was doing, but I was still teaching yoga and I was still teaching all these mystical things that I know. And I was living two lives because I would go on these, very deep, intensive retreats. I didn't need alcohol in those because I was really connecting body, mind, spirit, soul, etc. But then I'd get home and all, everything would come over me, and I would live all these different lives in order to incorporate it all. So that got to a point where it did not work. And, even my husband, we've been married almost 25 years, he got to a point where he said, I didn't marry someone who was, going out at night and then slurring their words. I didn't stop drinking because of him. I stopped drinking because of myself. I stopped drinking because I prayed on my hands and knees, and this is the truth, for the divine to take away the craving and to fill it with something else. And I say this because I felt horrible shame, the most intense shame. And I think part of that was chemical too. I think that the dopamine crash can create such a looking back, I think the dopamine crash can create such a disconnect from our souls that we literally can feel excruciating pain. And it was during a dopamine crash when I said, I'm done. And it now I feel very much like I want to help other people to find out what is that thing? What is it? Is it the longing to be perfect, and the alcohol can help us to, feel worthy by keeping our house in shape while we're mothers, while we're doing laundry and having the wine while we're folding? Is it that we have social anxiety and having a drink can help us to show up at functions? Is it that we're just so unplugged from our higher selves that we don't even want to feel what it feels like to feel all those feelings of being alive, because then we might have regrets? There could be so many different things, but I know that everybody listening is not listening because they're just so excited to go out and party. Otherwise, there'd be other podcasts to listen to. So that's
Yeah.
my story. And I know we can talk about a lot of things, but just so you have an idea, that's my story.
Yeah, I can relate to your story with the yoga. I also, when I started yoga in my early 20s, I would go to these retreats, I would do these things, and I would not drink. That's why I was able to sort of maintain a quote unquote like healthy lifestyle. But like you, I literally felt like I was living a double life. Like, and it was like literally tearing me in half. And I'm like, I knew there came a point where I was like, I have to choose. And I obviously, having a daughter, I'm like, I need to choose the right thing,
Yeah,
and it's like that fork in a
absolutely.
road and just taking that right, those steps. And it's not easy, So how have you
Yes.
noticed your own, I assume you have a spiritual practice, a physical practice. How has it enhanced since you became sober?
That blur between my heart and the divine is now no longer a blur. There's the path to the divine is just an instant away. I do think alcohol shuts off the pituitary gland, and the pituitary gland is the point of connection. It's the point of intuition. It's the point that helps us to connect to the divine by, there's so much to this. I was just in Italy, and we learned so much about these sacred pieces of art, and they have all these like pine cones in Italy, and the pine cone is representative of the pineal gland, which is in the center of the brain. And I think that these artists truly understood that that is the point that connects us to the divine. It's also the point that shuts us off from the divine. And when someone is having an amio, I don't know if they still do this, but I know when I had an amio when I was pregnant, they said, go home and have a glass of wine. And I thought, oh. And the reason, which is so fascinating, the reason why they say that is because alcohol turns off the pineal and pituitary gland, which are the glands that send messages to the body to have a baby. Those are the same, those hormones connect to all of our hormones. They're also known in yoga philosophy as the glands that connect us to the divine. So there's so much there. And the ancient mystics, they understood things that I think are coming full circle for us now, because that pineal gland is shaped like a pine cone, right? So we turn that off. We turn off our connection to the divine. We become very earthly, which is also something that we do in order to fit in. And I think another reason we drink is because we're longing for community. And alcohol can bring us to that place where we really think we're connecting to people, especially if they're drinking. It brings us more into the vibration that they're in. Whereas if we're not drinking, we're really operating at a different dimension. So how do we still connect if we're not in that same frequency, right? And so Where did we go with, where did this, what was the question again?
I mean, my question now, I mean, the question was, how has your spiritual or fitness practice evolved since becoming sober? And then the other question is, you just mentioned you're in Florida, right? At a beautiful hotel. There's a lot of social events. You just got home from Rome, Italy. Again, a lot of parties, alcohol around. How did you manage, and what are some of your tools, mindset shifts? I think in general, just mindset. Like, how has it shifted, and what do you do now in events?
Absolutely. So, first of all, we always want to play the scenario forward, right? Like, for example, I'll just speak from where I am right now. I just found out that we have a dinner tonight at 8 o'clock. There's going to be wine, and the kind where they just keep pouring your glass, you know? And so I obviously won't be having any of the wine, but if I, and I just know that, but when I first started to live a sober life, I would play it forward. Okay, fine. So I can have that wine. I'll have a few sips. Then I'm going to want more because I'm going to start, you know, chasing the buzz. Then all of a sudden I'm going to be sitting at the table for a long time. So next thing I know, I'm going to keep drinking. They're going to keep pouring. And then I'm going to start, you know, feeling really buzzed and start slurring my words. Then where's the dinner? Then I get home. Then I'm not feeling like myself. Then I wake up and I have anxiety and I feel horrible. So you play it forward and you remember all those things, right? And then something else is when you're in the situation, deep breathing. And I can show you a breath that really helps, and it just takes a minute. You can go into the bathroom if the trigger comes and you think, oh my gosh, that just looks so good, or I really want that drink. You make your mouth into a little kind of O shape, or just like a little kiss. If you're sitting at the table, you can do it without doing that. And you suck the air, the breath in through your mouth. And it's really important that you bring that breath really low into the lower belly, because that will stretch the fascia at the base of the spine. And when we stretch the fascia there, we immediately ask the nervous system to go into a calm state. We bring in the parasympathetic nervous system right away. It's all body and nervous system physiological connection there. And you want to hold the breath, bring the tongue to the roof of the mouth, keep holding the breath. And if you're alone, you can close your eyes and you can focus at the third eye point, which is that pituitary gland. And then you slowly exhale through the nose and you drop your shoulders. So we can do this all together in less than a minute, and we'll do it again right now without me really explaining it as much. Soften the belly, inhale through that, those puckered lips or not, but inhale through the mouth. Now, tongue to the roof of the mouth. Nobody will even see you do this. If your eyes are open, you just kind of gaze, hold the breath in. And really make sure you're pressing it, you're commanding that breath down to the low, you want to really work that diaphragm. Keep holding until you really can't hold anymore. Now drop the shoulders and very slowly through the nose, exhale.
Oh, I love that.
And right there, you have a reset, right? In that moment, when it's right in front of you, you have a reset, or in that moment where you're thinking, should I, shouldn't I? And the mind gets involved right away. Do that breath. And then, you know, I'll have a mocktail. I'll have a whatever you want, you know, I'll have a sparkling water, whatever. And you can do that throughout wherever you are. And if sometimes it's also people are coming home from work, they are. Whoops, I hope that my phone just rang. So I just sent it to voicemail. But sometimes people are coming home from work and they're already thinking, oh my God, I just want to hear that cork open. Or I know that that would just be the best medicine right now. And so do the breathing. And, you know, there are so many different reasons that we lean on substance for comfort. And if it's a spiritual longing, you can use that moment to pray. and use the breath and just ask the divine to take that desire away. I personally think from just living a very spiritual life and a very mainstream life and having a lot of friends that, are still struggling with drinking. And I say struggling because most of them don't love that they're still doing it. And I really think that the missing link is that so much we're thirsty for connection. We're thirsty for connection with one another, and we're thirsty for connection with the divine. And if you look at some of the poems that mystics wrote years and years ago, so often it's that thirst for the divine, that thirst for comfort that only the higher realms can give us. And the collective conscious, the collective energy of the world right now is so intense. So how do we comfort ourselves? I know for sure that alcohol is a very quick way to feel the comfort, and it's also the most triggering of pain because the chemicals that are released afterwards are, even in the moment, we might think we feel like we're in that place of connection, but that's an illusion anyway. But we're only feeling that intoxicated feeling for a few minutes, and then we need more alcohol to continue that feeling, right?
You're
So it's a
high.
vicious cycle.
So how does one, because I'm sure not everyone practices yoga and has like an extensive spiritual practice, how does a beginner wanting to quit alcohol, perhaps pray to take this craving away, right? And then what are some tangible next steps that women can do or men?
Join a sober-minded group of people. It could be, there's so many of them now. And some of them are just gray area drinkers, right? And sometimes it's really nice to be in a community where people are still drinking and trying to find the answer too, and it's not so shame provoking. And start to really discuss what is this? What's happening? Why am I not able to break this habit? Talk about it. Talk about the shame that comes along. Connect. And there's so many ways to connect. It could be a book group, but just not one where they're, drinking wine. If that's, if your intention is to stop drinking, there's so many other, there's just find that thing that you loved when you were a child. What was it that you loved when you were a kid? There was no alcohol around. You just loved it. It brought you happiness. Find a way to bring that back into your life, right? Sometimes, for me, I always loved kids. So if I'm at a social event, I go hang out with the kids. Let me color with you, and it's kind of very healing for me. But find that place where you feel that you're able to be authentically you without pretending to be someone else, right? And where you're embraced for being you, all parts of you, including the parts that you're not so proud of. With every bit of light, there's a shadow. So we all have shadows. And it's when we pretend that we don't have shadows and we show up so perfectly imperfect, right? Because we know that we don't feel as worthy as we're pretending to appear. And that goes for all of us. We're not connecting. When we show up from an authentic place, there's a connection. And then there isn't that need to kind of turn off the social anxiety or to appear to be someone that we're not. Find a way to show up authentically. And it's amazing how many people will actually be so inspired by that. And it takes working the muscle. It takes time.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, Michaela, I am fully frustrated with my kids, whom I love more than life itself. However, as their mom, I feel like an absolute failure, and I can't seem to find the time to get us all organized and even have meaningful conversations. I feel like everyone is so busy. I'm so overwhelmed, so drained. Help me.
Yes, get that off your chest. As a busy mom, I get it. I have found that when I am stressed and feeling stuck, the best thing to do is ask for help. Perhaps book a therapy session. Therapy is for everyone, every human desiring to feel better, live better, and learn how to solve life's most pressing problems and concerns in real time. If you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and very convenient. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sobergirls today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/sobergirls.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here. And more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I love that. So what you just described for me was what I first encountered in the rooms of AA. I did not encounter much honesty. And I remember sitting in a meeting thinking, oh my gosh, this person's saying this out loud in a room of people they don't even know. And it was so freeing and beautiful, and that was intoxicating to me to hear someone's truth. And so many things you said I resonated with, but I was starving for the divine. Like in my prayer,
Yes.
your face is all I seek, your face is all I seek, your face is all I seek. I was so hungry, but so overwhelmed, similar to you, as you shared as a young child, of my realization of God and divinity and realms that were not spoken about. And I just felt like, well, I don't know what to do with this. I'm so uncomfortable. I'm feeling all these feelings. I don't have the words to express them. So I needed to numb it. And numbing that, I disconnected to that which I was seeking, like in what I was starving for. And once you take the alcohol away and you do the work and you connect with a community of like-minded individuals, where you can just be honest and talk about what you really want, what you're really hungry
Yeah.
for. And you said that in the beginning of the podcast. What are you drinking at or over? Why are you really
Yeah.
drinking? I don't, we ask people this. We're just alcohol everywhere. You can drink yourself to death, quite honestly, and people will watch you do it. Yes, it's socially acceptable. But why? Like, why are we numbing? Why are we suppressing our truth? Why are we falling into this hypnosis, into this submission? Why? Like,
Yes.
we all need
Why?
to wake up. And
Yes.
it's keeping us from everything we really want. Mikhail and I talk about this all the time. Everything you really want is on the other side of that drink. But yet,
It is.
following like robotically this culture where what you just described is so beautiful. Like, I want that. That's the reality we're all made for. So we really need to get honest about, okay, so I started drinking because this happened, or I had this experience, or I don't know, I just felt like I couldn't connect. So I thought that, whatever it is, we have to get honest. And there's some people who have major traumas that it's why they picked up. Some people, it's just cultural conditioning, the combination. But we need to have this conversation, and we need to say to everyone, like, let's wake up. Let's wake up. This is
Yes.
not, that's not reality. That's you're
Yes.
living like a robot, and you're missing it. Like, life is glorious, and we are
And
all like connected constantly.
we are, and we feel it more without alcohol. And in order to really, truly heal, if there's trauma, big T trauma or small T trauma, in order to truly heal, we have to feel. We have to feel to heal. And whenever we're numbing that trauma, it's going to come, it has to come out some way or another. So what happens is it becomes a cycle, because then all of a sudden in the moment of feeling, like we're really feeling it, we want to numb it again. But slowly allowing ourselves to feel it is the way to heal it. Another thing is that I have observed throughout my life that if you really think about it, the people who are very self-absorbed are rarely the ones that are struggling with wanting to keep others happy or wanting to fit in. It's really us empaths, us deep feelers that are trying to be everything for everybody, that abandon ourselves in order to take care of whatever environment we're in, right? And also many of us are so sensitive that it sounds, well, being in an environment with loud noises and a lot of people talking can feel so overwhelming. And so we've conditioned ourselves that the perfect way to be in that environment is to have a drink. And that is a misconception as well. So how do we, there's a lot of different tools to bring us to that place of being in the place that we're in, even if it's loud, even if there's fluorescent lights around us, even if all these different stimulatory things are coming at us. How do we sit there and be in it while being alcohol free? And that takes, lots of different tools, and everybody needs something different. For me, I definitely would practice the breathing. I also like to visualize being in a bubble of white light and, saying affirmations to myself, like, I am loving myself. I will not abandon myself. I am worthy of living a life of wellness, things that I remind myself, because sometimes for my entire life, I have abandoned myself in order to make everybody else feel comfortable. So how am I going to sit here like, oh, holier than thou with my water when everyone else is drinking? Well, I make that decision that I'm not going to put myself in an unhealthy environment for myself anymore in order to make everybody else feel comfortable.
Amen.
I'm like, amen.
Oh, I can just listen to you speak. It's so therapeutic and it just makes sense. It really does. And everything that you just described is self-love and it's self-connection and it's ultimately everything that we desire is within that place once we cultivate that place. I did want to tap into we talked a little bit on our last call about ancestral trauma, right? And how to break that. We had a call in our mastermind. We have a community. We meet once a week and we had a call, I think it was last week. And we're actually talking about how when you begin to heal, you heal the past seven generations behind you and forward. Like, so we're in it. So it's like no pressure, but kind of, it's like, what do we do with that? And how does that work?
Well, the ancient yogis always talked about this, and I used to never be able to bring it up in a mainstream environment because it was so esoteric. And now there's science. There is science. And I won't get into all the science because it will take a little while, but there is actual factual science proving that we inherit in our own cells trauma of our ancestors. Both my parents were born and raised in Europe. They both were little toddlers during World War II. That's a very vulnerable time to be, in bomb shelters, and they both were. So, yeah, how do we heal it? First of all, we need to recognize it, that it is really a fact, scientifically proven, and then it's really, from my experience, it's really energy work that helps us to heal it. It's not so much talking about it as much as moving the energy and moving the energy out of the cells. I love Kundalini yoga for that. And I think that probably somewhere in my bio is my book, which is called Essential Kundalini Yoga, which has a lot of different exercises that people can do at home to heal ancestral, generational things that are known or unknown. Because the thing about energy healing is you don't even need to know what it is. And a lot of the little things that go on in our body that buzz, the little triggers and that we can't figure out, they're generational. And it could be five generations back. How are we supposed to know about that? So we just let it go. We release it. We heal it. And energy can't be destroyed. Energy is only transformed, right? So we just transform the energy. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. But yeah, we recognize it first, transform the energy, and it really makes space for the miraculous once we start doing that. It's incredible. And I love that science is catching up with it, because I used to just appear to be so weird when I talked about it. And I could go on and on about certain things, stories about that too. And how I used to explain that I had a client who was obese and she didn't know why. And she had done everything to stop overeating. And it was when she realized that all the mother, grandmother, great grandmother, she had all this generational information because she had this big family tree. All of them gained weight after their wedding day, and she had pictures to show it. So it was when all of that, it was when we realized that I said, oh my gosh, this is real. And this was way before I even saw any of the scientific data. This was a long time ago, over 10 years ago. And that's when I started to say, oh wow, this is really a thing. And so, yes, it is. And I love that more and more people, including psychologists, are catching up with this. They're even talking about how to heal the vagus nerve now in psychology. There's EMDR. All of these things go way back to the ancient yogis. Vagal therapy, all the vagus nerve. So even singing, even humming, all of those things, those are ancient. But every time these things come to the mainstream, especially for people who do need science, because all of this is just so enigmatic for a lot of people, if you need the science is there. But I do know that these ancient yogic philosophies and meditations and pranayama exercises, breathing exercises, vagus nerve exercises, they work. They really work. So I hope that answers your question.
They do work, and you feel an instant shift. I know I do. I love Kundalini yoga. I
Oh,
do. I
good.
do. I love all types of yoga.
I do too. I love them. I love it all too. Yeah.
It's
I
healed
love
me
it
in
all
so
too.
many ways. Me
So it's
too.
if this is becoming more mainstream, this is something I have been working on this past year with. I have a spiritual coach, and exactly what you just described, and he described it too, is we're bodies of light. And that is a scientific thing, but we think of that so much in a spiritual realm, but it is scientific. We're energy bodies. And so when you were speaking, I was thinking of too, like you're breathing in the light of God to transform
Yes.
and then to release. And then when you do that, you can transform generations. And it's in sitting in it and recognizing it and honoring it and saying, okay, but we're no longer going to carry this anymore. And it can be
Yes.
transformed, and it can be or released, and it because it energy does continue, it goes somewhere else. But it's what a wild gift to be able to do. You can do this on yourself when you're understanding what you're working with and who's working through you. And it's prayer, and it's the yoga, and it's the breathing, it's the mindset, and it's having that community around you to support
Yes.
you. But that is the work. I mean, that is the work of all work, really.
And it is, and it's work. It is work,
It is
but
work.
we have to do, the only way through is through, right? You can't jump. I mean, wine is like jumping over everything, or I don't even mean just wine, alcohol, jump over it all until we have to backpedal through it, and it's even worse,
It's
right?
going to be there,
Oh,
yeah, no matter
it's going to
what.
be there. It's going to be there. Absolutely. Something else that can help heal generational trauma is if we're called on to, if we're called upon, we and we're in a spiritual spiritual place in our lives, and we feel a calling for something, to really listen to that. Because sometimes if we use our voice for change, and we don't always know why it's happening or what's happening or why we're feeling certain activism, right? Like somebody might be an activist for preventing plastic or whatever. We don't really know what happened with our ancestors that makes us such an activist. So that true activism that comes from the heart, sometimes that is part of our generational healing, and that can also help our children, our grandchildren, right? So sometimes it is a call to action as well. There's a lot of different elements, but the more that we are in our own alignment, body, mind, soul, physiologically, et cetera, the more that we will be able to be in the flow of recognizing if there's an action that needs to be taken for our highest good, for our lineage's highest good, for our children, grandchildren, et cetera. Sisters, nieces, nephews, brothers.
No, that's exactly how I feel about this podcast. If you would have met me over 10 years ago, if I was to think I'm gonna have a sober podcast, I was a big time party girl in the city. Like I would have been like, what are you talking about? But also the same thing, if you looked at me 20 years ago, over time I got into the yoga and wellness, and it's like I transformed, I mean, thousands of times. And I truly believe every single one of us can towards that best version of ourselves. And it's just layers and work and this. But yeah, talking about the calling, and it was like, Aaron and I were talking a year and a half ago, like, let's just start a podcast. We're having these conversations. We're not hearing anyone else talk about these things. When I'm out with friends, when I'm at events or anything, nobody's talking about anything real unless I'm at a wellness event or things like that where people. It attracts people who are willing to kind of dig a little bit deeper, So it's just so interesting to like, saying yes to this calling, and it's just brought me so much joy. And I
I
think
can
honestly, if
imagine.
I didn't have it, I probably would have reverted back to somewhat of my old lifestyle. I still kind of would have tried to maintain both,
Because this brings you, this helps you to stay alive in a sense of energized. It's your purpose. You're not going to, abandon this deep calling because you're in it. And
So there's a
so
level of
you,
accountability as well, where it's
yes.
like
So
I
it
have
helps
to
you
be a
choose again.
that's
Yes.
it.
You can always choose again. And yeah, there's a le level of accountability. Like you're not going to go out on Saturday night and then come and do this podcast next Thursday again. I mean, you're not going to do that because it won't work for you. It won't be joyful. So much of our happiness comes from our harmony. And that means that we're in alignment with all the parts of who we are. And we all have so many parts, but that wounded child part, bring it into this room, right? And use that wounded child part, that I have that wounded child part who is like, I'm not good enough. And I have to constantly say, come on, we're doing this. I know you're scared, but we're going to do this. Come on, come on. And bring her in, and integrate all these different parts so that we can show up and we can say, yeah, we all have these different feelings. And we're all here just figuring it all out together. But not abandoning ourselves anymore, figuring it out in a way where we can love all those parts of ourselves as well. And yeah,
Beautiful.
having this community is huge, huge. So kudos to both of you for doing this. And I know you're helping so many people. So that's just an added plus to what it's doing for both of you.
It's so rewarding and it's fun and it's challenging at times. But I mean, all good things are, right? It's all of those things. Before we wrap up, and you've given so many tools and tips and mindset shifts and a lot of things for us to think about, really. I would love to know, like, I love morning and evening routines. I would love to know you are fit, you look beautiful. Like, I would love to know what do you do on a daily basis for your
Thank
body,
you.
for your mind, for your spirit,
Okay, yeah, sure.
morning and night.
Morning and night. First of all, in the morning, I don't go straight to my phone. I take some time to deepen my breath. I ask that my soul comes back in, and I take some deep breaths to sort of prepare for the day. And then sometimes I get out of bed and I sit and I meditate, but not always. But I always do take time away from my phone. It's on airplane mode. Throughout the day, I check in with myself and I see what do I need? What do I need right now? And really check in with that part of myself that might need to say no to something, might need to change some plans. At night, I practice journaling. I practice my gratitude. I spend a lot of time in nature when I need it. I make sure that I am constantly listening to that little voice inside of myself that I used to kind of shove into the corner. I love to go into ancient churches or cathedrals, spiritual places. Just I bring that energy into all of my cells. I walk. I love to walk. I am not a very intensive exerciser, but I do exercise every day. So yoga, stretching, walking, deep breathing, making sure that I'm not overexerting myself so that I'm not overdoing it and then needing to compensate, really work on staying balanced throughout the day. Don't take on more than I can handle. And oh yeah, another thing is I always make sure that I'm plugged into connection with my family, with my friends, with community. That's really important for me. Isolation is not healthy for me, even though I crave it sometimes. You know, maybe a day of mindfulness and meditation and you know, kind of a day of retreating and but being mindful of that can be extremely beneficial. But yeah, not so much when I let myself go into that place. But I haven't been doing it so much recently because I'm more aware of it. Usually that kind of isolation comes when I'm feeling shame, which is a bypass type of thing. What for it's a whole nother conversation, but shame is a really hard emotion for me. And I think that's ancestral too, for sure. So when I start to feel that shame, and it can be the smallest thing, or I start to feel it in my body, okay, what's the story I'm making up around this shame? What's the story here? Or is this just, I feel guilty that I am in this nice resort right now and my friend is not, right? Something so simple like that. That's the story. But really, is it that my lineage didn't have certain things, and so I have to work on, you know, whatever. There's so many different stories that can come up, and even when I'm working on ancestral healing, the stories come up. But just to be present with it, it's a feeling. I'm going to feel it. I know this is a real feeling because it's here, and emotions are energy in motion. So how can I transform this emotion? That's all. Okay, it's here. What do I need to do? Maybe I need to shake. Maybe I need to move my body. Maybe I need to just go outside for a minute. Maybe I need to call a friend. Maybe I need to journal. Maybe I need to pray. What do I need in this moment to transform this energy?
And what most people don't realize is these tools, most of them are free, and you could do them
Yes.
anytime. Like, talking about shaking, the last shaking and dancing is what I've incorporated in the evenings. So I have a little practice with my daughter. She started like doing these like nightly dances, and I'm just amazed. So I was like, "Can I join you?" And we'll dance for like two, three songs. We laugh, we have fun, we ground, we jump, and it's like I feel like a little kid. And going back to the thing that you asked, like doing that thing when you were little that brought you so much joy that you didn't need to have alcohol with, I love to dance. I have not danced, especially in sobriety. And looking back now, my club days in the city, I mean, that was my highlight. It was to dance till 3 in the morning. It was to just feel that energy and that joy and, and then feel sexy and feel good. But like, you know what? I could bring it right back into my bedroom with my daughter. I don't have to go anywhere. We put on the music that we want. I have my water to hydrate. I can stretch right after. I can, play with my cats after. And it's just creating this energy to close the day, to release anything that needs to be released, because I sure know, like, I hold on to things as well. I feel tense here and there, and it's like I feel the tension here. I feel we could just literally, I started shaking off, like, literally shaking my hands, shaking off, like, shaking my energy. Like, in the bathroom, I do these like little, like, snack exercise sessions that I do, whether it's like little jumping and just moving the flow and just moving through it, whatever needs to be moved through. And sometimes I don't even know what that is, but I know it needs to be done. We don't need to
Such a
know what is
great,
that thing.
we don't need to know. And it's such a great way to connect with our kids when, especially when our mind gets stuck, right? And we're in that place of, oh my gosh, how am I going to handle this? What should I do? Should I email that person? Should I? And we're stuck and our kids are going, mom, mommy, mommy. And that moment, if we say, let's go on the trampoline, right? Let's go on the trampoline, or let's shake our hips. In that moment, we're engaging with our kids and they don't know that we're actually releasing ancestral trauma in ourselves also. Right? But it's we're able to do it
And we're
both of
doing it
them. Like,
together. We're releasing their
yes.
trauma as well. We're teaching, we're giving
Yes.
them the tools. It's so important.
Yes. Yes. One day I think it's gonna be, come on, honey, we're gonna release ancestral, or they're not gonna call it ancestral, but one day it's gonna be like common conversation, like we gotta release great, great, great grandma's foot pain. Come on, like whatever.
Again.
For now our kids would go to school. I mean, my kids are not little anymore, but yeah, they'd go to school and be like, well, we had to really work with great grandma, Gertrude. And the teachers would be like, okay, those people are crazy. This is a really funny story. My son, when he was younger, he had this evaluation and they said, they ask all these questions, and it was to get into, it was an interview to get into a school. And they said, okay, do you ever like see things or do you ever, and he goes, well, I see angels, because it was such mainstream conversation in our house. And the person called me and said, I just want to let you know, your son said he sees angels. Like they thought that he was making it up. And I was like, yeah, he does. He does. And the guy was like, oh, like this mother's, they're probably like, the mother's crazy too.
Oh my God.
You've just forgotten that you can see them too. Children and pets can
That's
see.
right.
My daughter would see, would look right past me. I'm like, oh, who's here? I love that. Oh my gosh. We could talk to you all day. You need to come back on, please.
I will.
And come on
Anytime.
our
I'd love to.
mastermind. Come meet our girls. Let,
Okay,
you
I'd
know,
love
we have
that.
weekly
Yes, I would
calls
love
every
that.
Thursday. And you can hop on in there and have the girls ask you any questions. We
Sure,
can do this
yeah.
after this podcast episode so they're aware of all of this.
Okay,
And I think
good.
that would be
Yeah,
so much
I'd love
fun.
that. I'd love that too. I would really enjoy that. So absolutely.
Perfect. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank
You are
you
such a
both so
gift.
much.
Such a
Oh, thank
gift.
you. So are both of you. And thank you for answering this call because there are a lot of people that you are helping. And what a beauty technology is that we can do these things and it's just a podcast away to feel a sense of community, right? Even though someone who's listening to this may feel like, oh, I want to ask them a question or I want to be in that circle. You are in the circle. And if you want to ask the question, ask it to your higher self because you have the answer within, right?
Amen. That is true. Oh,
Beautiful.
thank you.
Bless you
Thank you.
both.
Tell
God bless you
everyone where
both.
we can find you on
Oh,
Instagram
yes.
or
So Instagram is Karina Virginia, Karena Virginia, V as in Victor, Virginia. And my website is karinavirginia.com. Facebook is Karina Virginia as well.
beautiful. We'll link that in the show notes. And thank you for everyone tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and we'll see you next week. Love you.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Addiction impacts all of us. Addiction's consequences run through all of us. From ourselves to our loved ones and through our communities, addiction creates so much loss and grief. My name is Duane Osterlin, and I'm the host of the Addicted Mind podcast, a show featuring personal stories, expert guests, and vital information about addiction and addiction recovery. We'll talk with leading treatment providers to discuss the latest research and treatment options for this devastating disease and advocate for mental health awareness. We discuss topics like the importance of creating a community of support to helping loved ones to some of the latest research on psychedelic medicines. The Addicted Mind podcast has been about creating hope, listening to stories of many amazing people that have overcome addiction and are thriving. If you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, subscribe to the Addicted Mind podcast wherever you get your podcasts or check out theaddictedmind.com. New episodes every Monday. See you there.